modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And to make sure that I get a greeting out there to the AM listeners, also on WWBC 1510 AM, we want to thank you for making us part of your day. And we pray that the next half hour as we're talking about the Word of God, that it will be a blessing to you. And we're going to be in Job 42 today is where we're going to be journeying through. I think we're going to start with verse number 3. We're going to read through verse number 1, but if you want to turn there, Job 42:1 says this: "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of your hearing, or I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" So we're going back once again, we're looking at the limitations of opposition against God, whether it's united or whether it's an individual who is just overconfident in their own self-righteousness. That's what we are going to be looking at here. It says, we talked about this on yesterday's program, that God can do everything. There is nothing that he cannot do. And that no purpose of God's will be withheld from God. So, I mean, you think about that statement, no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. There's not a higher power than God. So there's nothing, there's no one, no organization, no group of entities that are ever going to be able to withhold from God anything. He is the self-existent one. So, This is the basis which Job forms the foundation for his response. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So then Job said, "You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?" So I wanted to dive into that just a little bit and look and see what that meant. And that word hides means veiled or conceals the knowledge of God. And I don't know about you, but there are things in my life that I don't want obscuring the revelation of who God is. So I've made this statement a number of times. I was in retail management for about 11 years, and I got approached a number of times by people who were wanting me to get involved in direct sales and marketing and things like that. But I was the pastor of the church as well. I was pastoring because of my calling. I was working in retail because that was the source that God was using to provide finances for our family. The church was very small, and you know, we did it because we love God. We're not in this for the funding aspect. The funding is essential, but you know, it's not the reason we got into it. We got into it because we loved God. God called us to this, and we wanted to be a blessing to people. And so we got approached many times about direct marketing, and each time I made this statement, that may be fine for you, but you need to understand that the primary message, the primary product that I have that I want to promote to people is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't want anything that might happen in a business transaction causing people to have a negative attitude towards Jesus because of something that I may have been promoting from a business environment. And so I don't want to do anything, if you will allow me to use the word, I don't want to participate in anything that is going to hide the counsel or the wisdom of God. I don't want anything obscuring the revelation of who God is. And so God had asked Job that, who is this who hides or puts a veil over my counsel, the knowledge, and knowledge of God is very important. The knowledge of God, what God knows, is not just facts and figures. The knowledge of God is moral quality and moral clarity. You see, one of the tactics of people who do not want to embrace the truth of God's word is they want to try and obscure whether or not there is anything as absolute truth, or whether there is anything that is absolute moral clarity, because if there is moral clarity, then that means that there are also things that are immoral, and they don't want to embrace that concept, because then they may have to abandon some of their practices and lifestyles. You know, so you will hear them say things that will try and make equal things out of two thought patterns, but one of them is moral and one of them is immoral. One of them is life, the other is death. One is truth, the other is deception. And so those two things are not equal. You may have people that know talking points about one side, and you may know people that have talking points about the other side, but that does not make them morally equivalent. So knowing God is not just knowing about God. Knowing God is knowing him for who he is, for his heart, for his holiness, for his compassion. And God wants all of us to know. He wants the whole world. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. So I want to ask you right now, if there is anything in your life that is concealing the revelation or the counsel of God, is there anything that is going on in your life that is making it more difficult for people to see Jesus? Because if so, we need to get away from that. So God says, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? You are talking, but you do not have the proper foundation. You don't have the proper facts. You don't have the proper moral clarity. So, you know, I'll say this. I was in a meeting one time, and a minister was using a quote from Vince Lombardi. Now, I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, but I'm not a one that says, you know what, I live and die by Green Bay football or anything like that. I've watched them win Super Bowls. I've watched them lose Super Bowls. I've watched them have horrible seasons. I've been a fan of them my entire life. So I know that Vince Lombardi was a coach of the Green Bay Packers. He wasn't the first coach. He was one of the greatest coaches, but I know he coached the Green Bay Packers. And this preacher said, you know, that he was the coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Well, that just did not work. I mean, I couldn't tell you too much of what else he said that day because I knew he got that fact wrong. I was quoting a point recently, and I thought it came from one particular movie, which I watched years ago, but somebody said, so we went and watched that movie. It was one of the worst movies that I've ever seen in my entire life. They were talking about production value of it, and it didn't, evidently, that did not have the scene in it that I thought it had in it. But the point that I made was still true. But if you get the facts wrong, then it makes it harder to see what God is doing. In Job's situation, his suffering was so intense, his loss was so traumatic, that he got to the place where he hated his life, and he just gave freedom to his mouth. I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. That might make you feel better, but I want to ask you to use a different metric. Will those words cause a person to come closer to Jesus, or will they drive him farther away? So I am so thankful and frustrated at the same time about the delete button on a keyboard. Because there are so many times that there is something that I want to say through a text or through a social media post or something like that, and I've got it typed out, and all of a sudden, before I hit send, which I'm thankful for, the Holy Spirit asked me this question: is that going to make this person want more of Jesus or not? And so at that point in time, I will put my finger on the delete button and I will hit it repeatedly until the whole thing is erased, because I don't want to be making it harder for people to know who Jesus is. If Jesus is lifted up, he draws all men unto him. And we want it to be easier for people to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior so that they don't spend an eternity without him. Job said, you asked the question. I want you to know what I did. I have uttered what I did not understand. I have uttered what I did not understand. I love the book of Jude. It's 25 verses, but it's got a lot of powerful, truths in there. And in verse number 10 of Jude, there's only one chapter. It says, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves. We have a tendency to blaspheme, which is what that speak evil is. That's the word blasphemy there. So when you talk about people blaspheming, the core meaning of that word is they speak evil about things that they do not know and that they do not understand. Job said, I have uttered what I did not understand. We need to come to the place where our understanding is subservient and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. We need to come to the place where our understanding is subservient and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, there's a lot of people that says, look, unless I understand what is going on, I'm not going to do it. Unless I have a full explanation, I'm not going to move forward. Well, there may be time for that later. But if there is a tree that is about to fall on top of you, and the person says, move, 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 move. You don't have time for an explanation. You just need to get out of the way. So one of my dear friends, he's been a part of Merit Assembly of God for almost the same length of time that I have been, and he was over helping me resolve a car problem decades ago. And we were just talking. We talk about family things. We talk about cars. We talk about sports. But most of what we talk about is we talk about the Word of God and things like that, the church and ministry. And you know, he's just been a core part of Merit Assembly of God for decades now. And without saying anything, he just reached up and slapped me. And I just looked at him. And he got this really horrified look on his face and just took his hand and showed me the palm of his hand, took his finger and pointed, and there was a mosquito carcass on the inside of his hand. And I looked at him and I said, brother, I trust you. I trust you. And I said this, if you reached up and slapped me, I know there's got to be a really good reason why you reached up and slapped me. And so I told that story at church, and a guy took a pen and tried to draw a little mosquito carcass, and he came up and tried to do that, and is like, I know better than that. So, you know, it's not that you just let everybody just, you know, abuse you or anything like that. But do you have a trust relationship? Do you have a peace from God that surpasses understanding, that it will cause you to restrain what you are going to speak? Now, there's people that come up and, you know, they've roughhoused with me and stuff like that, and that can invoke a response. If there's not a relationship there, there's not going to be any understanding there. But I want you to remember that Job, God had said at the beginning that he was, have you considered my servant Job? He's blameless in all of his ways. There were things about Job that God was boasting of and bragging on. And, you know, I think I touched on this just a little bit, but in Job chapter 41, verse number 12, when it's talking about Leviathan, I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty powers, or his graceful proportions. That word conceal means I will not keep silent about. There were things about Leviathan that God would boast about. The limbs that he has was something that God was very commendable of. The mighty power that creature possesses is something that caused God to speak in a favorable manner. His graceful proportions, remember, it's a creation of God. And he looked at this creature that was very intimidating and terror-inducing into the hearts of men, and God saw graceful proportions. He saw a masterpiece that he had created. I wonder what God is speaking favorably over in your life. Okay, so I've heard of models that had their legs insured. You know, and I want you to know that if the greatest thing that anybody can say about you is the shape of your legs, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If all that somebody can do is boast about how strong you are, how powerful you are, you're in trouble. If all that anyone can talk about is your figure or your bank account or the job that you hold, if that is all that anyone can commend you for is something that is superficial, you are in a temporary place of favor. You want to be much more in the place where God spoke about Job and talks about the blamelessness and the righteousness that was going on in his life. And I will tell you, as long as we're breathing, there's also going to be something that God wants to bring out of us and refine out of us, purge from our lives, because he's constantly trying to make us more like Christ. He's wanting to refine us for where eternity is. We're going to be prepared to spend eternity with God in a glorious manner. Okay, so Job said, I spoke about things that I did not understand. And I, listen, you don't have to be Leviathan. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be powerful. You don't have to be super strong or you know, just have something that is pleasing to the eye. God looks upon people, and if they're walking in covenant with him, the scripture says, I believe it's in Zephaniah chapter 3, that he rejoices over you with singing. You are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece created by God for the glories of God. I can tell you that I know people who are twins, and they are radically different. Their personalities are different. Their appearance, you know, is different. You don't confuse the two. Whenever you see them, you don't see them as two identicals. They're not clones. They are unique children of their mother and father. And God has created you not to be conformed to the image of this world that really is enthralled with superficial things. God wants to not keep quiet about things in your life like faith, faithfulness, love. Now listen. There is also knowledge and understanding. So Job says, I have uttered what I did not understand. There were things that I had failed to consider. There are things that I had failed to perceive. So at one point in time, my presbyter advised me to do something, and I really didn't want to do it. And he said, you have to do it, and you have to do it this way. And he explained the ramifications for that. Now, I tell you that because from that point forward, I was able to bring into this any situation that I might be dealing with a person, and they're coming to me and saying, Pastor, how do I handle this situation? I could say, this is the way that you want to handle it because, and there was a reason for it. So what happened to me was not a waste. It was not my finest hour, but it wasn't a waste because God taught me something. He gave me understanding in that situation. And because of the understanding, it now impacted the way that I speak. And so when people come to me, I want to say, okay, what is the divine perspective? Okay? How does God look upon this situation? How is this going to impact the relationships that you have with people around you? How is this going to impact your ministry? How is this going to impact your health? How will it impact your finances? And my goal isn't to answer the questions for them as much as it is to help them to analyze the situation before they respond to make sure that their perceptions are accurate perceptions. The world has a saying that perception is reality, I want you to know that that is not true. That is not true. I have pictures of myself that I did for a sermon one time, and they're all the same picture, but they had different filters on them, and they one of them made me look really tall and really thin, and another one made me look really short and really stubby. Same exact picture. But when you looked at it through the filter that was being utilized, it altered what it looked like to people. And so one of them, I looked extremely overweight. The other one, I looked extremely thin. I like that one, but it wasn't reality. So we need to make sure that the perception that we have is God's perception, and that causes us to understand things better, and it impacts the words that we speak. Okay? I've said it this way, just because something crosses your mind doesn't mean it's supposed to cross your lips. You are called to be a person who refreshes others who will themselves be refreshed. So I pray today that your perception and understanding of Jesus Christ will continue to increase and abound. I pray that you will study the Word of God and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. I pray that your understanding of the Word of God would be more than it's ever been before. I pray that your understanding of the plight that people may be facing, you would understand the seriousness of it. You know, and when the rich man died and went to hell, suddenly he had a much better perception of the reality of hell and cried out to Father Abraham, send Lazarus back, send Lazarus back. I don't want my family coming here. And he had a completely eye-opening reality. And he said, if there's no hope for me, I want to do everything that I can to make sure that others don't experience this same fate. Don't do like Job. Job said, you asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge, who obscures the vision and the knowledge of God? He said, I want you to know, I uttered words, I spoke, but I did not understand. I pray today that the God of all peace, that you will be able to trust him beyond understanding, and so that your words flow out of your relationship with him and your desire to be a blessing to others. If there are some things you don't understand, zip thy lips until you have better understanding of the situation. Then you can glorify God. See you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
'Cause our God is risen.